in the Bir Agro in Perek Vav Pasuk Vav, I just want to chazer it over because you see how what he says really dovetails with all that we've been saying the last couple of times. And that is that in the Gra there's a Yisoid that the Yetzer Hara is mislabish very often in the Tzura of the Yetzer Tov. Last time we spoke about it, we gave examples such as the building of Aloshin and so on. These are very positive things in themselves, but it had to be proven that it's positive, because sometimes the Yetzer Hara sends a person in the religious direction, so to speak, on a wild goose chase, only to confound him. Very more down-to-earth examples of this are people who bite off more than they can chew. This is a very, very common problem. The Yetzer Hara says, why should you decide to learn a Masechta Baal Peh, Ichveis, like Maseches Megillah, when you can learn Baba Batra or Brachas? The Gaon said, we'll have to rely on him, that there are as many words in Brachas as there are in Baba Batra. But whatever it is, a huge Masechta, Maseches Shabbos. Now naturally, this applies to everybody, not just to learn a Masechta Baal Peh, but you see right away that such a plan, unless you have unbelievable koichos hanefesh and a tremendous zikaron, is doomed to failure from the outset. It's impossible for a person to be able to do that and at the same time be committed to the goal over all kinds of disturbances and life itself, unless he has unbelievable koichos hanefesh and a tremendous zikaron besides. So what's going to happen? One day is going to come, and that's going to make it's going to undermine, because he's going to fail, and then another day, and then Chas V'Shalom gets a flu, and before you know it, the whole plan is batel mevutel. One of the great things about the Daf Yomi in the original plan was that the person should learn only one daf a day. That was the original plan, and it was for several hours until he knew it al buryo. And that way, he had an understanding that in 7 years, he could finish Shas. And that was a tremendous idea, because it was not too much, and it was something that could be entertained. Today, it's kind of been modified, because most of the people who learn Daf Yomi, although there are some who do it for more than 1 hour a day, but there are quite a number of people who do it for 1 hour a day. How much they get from it is totally not only in the Magid Shir, maybe least in the Magid Shir, and mostly in the person and his capacity, and how much background he has. True. And there are some people who are in the Daf Yomi program, but not too much sticks to them. Even then, it's a Kedai thing probably to do. The only thing that's better to do is something that does stick to them. But the chances of somebody doing that with consistency, which is exactly the problem that we're talking about, is very slim, unless he has a shir kavua, or at least a chavrusa, that's there every single morning or every single evening, whenever the person learns. The daf provided that consistency. And consistency, as an Adam Godel once said, what's the big deal about Shoina Halachas B'chol Yoim? Two Halachas. Halachas in the plural without a number is a minimum. The minimum is two. Two Halachas a day. He says B'chol Yoim. That's the unbelievable Madrega, that someone should be consistent in that sort of way. Now, can you imagine? Two Halachas, much less than a daf. But the Daf Yomi idea and the two halachas idea of the B'chol Yom, no matter what, is such an unbelievable kayach. But it has to be something that can be done. Now what if, for example, they decided that we're not going to do the Daf Yomi in this way because maybe it's too superficial. Or maybe we don't have a chance to look at a single Taisvis. Or maybe we can't follow up with the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch halacha l'maisa. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to learn it for 3 hours a day. So the chances of that program succeeding has just gone down about 80%. Not only because the people do not have the 3 hours, but because to be able to sit through something for 3 hours, especially Bizman Hazeh, is not an easy thing. So if you're in yeshiva, you're forced to do it, and even then not everybody can handle it. But if a person's already out of the yeshiva and he's in the world, he doesn't have the time, he doesn't have the sitz flesh. So to make a plan that the chatchila is going to fail is definitely the atzas hayetzer hara. But it's in areas where, which is much more than that. A person that's part of al tehi tzadik arbe, lama tishoymein. Shmama is a very interesting word, desolation. Why should you be desolate? A person falls into a tremendous despair when his plans are broken on the hard rocks. That ship that he has called plans, aspirations, ideals, goals, values are broken on the rocks of his reality. And that's a very important yesod. And the Yetzer Hara is always scheming. Now, the Yetzer Hara has another scheme in the opposite direction. The Yetzer Hara says, you're not the kind of tzaddik that can do these sort of things. So don't take this chumrah upon yourself. So somebody hears a shir about Yashan, the Isur of Chadash. Chadash, according to many Rishonim, even today, and even Chutz Laaretz, is also Midiyoy Raisa. Now, if that's the case, how can a person eat Chadash? So the Yetzer Hara comes to a person, he says, you just heard a shir, so for that Rav it's good, because he's the Rav. But for you, plenty of Eden. A lot of the Hasidic world does not eat, is not makbid, I mean on Russian Bedavka. And someone once asked, why is it so? I think they maybe asked the Avnei Nezer or something. Why is it so that they're not makbid on such a serious thing when they're makbid on so many, you know, little prote protim? So he said because the Chayz of Lublin was a descendant of the Bat, and he was not, the Bat was not makbid on it, or he paskened that, whatever the reason is, it's not naik b'chutz la'aretz, let's say, or it's not naik b'shal akum, there are different shitas. So whatever the Bach Shita is, that it's not nice. The Chayza, because he was his descendant, followed suit. And since Hasidus spread mostly in the current world, in Poland especially, through the Chayza and his Talmidim, so that's the way it remained. But whatever the reason is, the fact is it's not only a Chumra Ba'alma, it's really a very important thing to keep. I'm not now selling Chodesh. But what I mean to say is, I mean that Chodesh is also, of course. In the Yetzirah's bag of tricks, you know, in his bag of tricks or his bag of tools, there's also, don't think you're such a big tzaddik because you're not on that madrega. Or don't make this plan because you're not going to finish. So now it's the exact opposite. He's telling the person that he's not capable. And then he doesn't have the koyach, and he doesn't have the zitzvah, and he doesn't have the commitment, and he doesn't have the sincerity. Look at the famous chazal. What do you need more than that chazal? It says, V'ro'acho v'samach v'libay. Aaron HaKoyach. Aaron, the brother of Moshe Rabbeinu. I think it's somewhere connected to the parasha of the week. It's possible. Yes?
Yes, it is.
Yes! So guess what? We'll pick something from today's parsha. V'ro'acha, hinei Aaron achicha yotzei likrasecha v'ro'acha v'samach v'liboy. Everyone knows what the famous Medrash says about this. Ilu yada Aaron, sha'atayra me'idor kaisevis olav v'ro'acha v'samach v'liboy hayo yotzei likras Moshe v'supimu v'mecholos. Ilu yada Reuven, that the Torah is made on him. Vayishma Reuven vayatzileu miyada. Haya magbia es Yosef al keseifo umolicho eitzel ovin. Ilu yada boyas, etc. What is the pshat of this chazal? The pshat is that Aaron had an unbelievable kayach. What we call in Yiddish, and it's borrowed already by us to English, tefaginin. Tefaginin is not an easy word to translate into English. But basically what it means is to see someone else in the limelight, to see someone else have all the mindless, have all the good luck, as they say, all the mazel, and you are left holding the empty bag, you are left with nothing, and you deserve it maybe as much, even more, and afal pikein, you can tolerate the other person's hatzlocha, even though you don't have it. That's tefaginin. Now, Aaron had such an unbelievable kayach, because if you measure the logic of it, who should be the one to go to Paro? Moshe, that his life is threatened by Paro. Moshe, that hasn't been around for who knows how long. Moshe that was hardly amongst the people, Moshe that is a kvad peh, or kvad loshon, or his brother, who besides being older, is also infinitely more endowed in these inyanim. And he's amongst the people. And he has a gift of speech. And he's able to be, with his kofes hanefesh, to convey a hard point with great graciousness. Who is the one who should go to Paro if not Aaron? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, what? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, who are you going to go to? He's going to be your mouthpiece. Why you need that is a different story. That's not for the shiur of today. Why didn't he send Aaron Lemaisa directly? But be that as it may, everyone knows that when the Torah said, Hinei Aaron Achicha Yotzei, that Aaron obviously had to know that Moshe Rabbeinu was coming, and he was informed that Moshe Rabbeinu was coming to do something, to achieve a goal. And he is going to be the leader. You, Aaron, are going to be his spokesman. You're going to be his meturgeman. You're just going to be his nachshlecher. And Aaron says, wonderful, gewaldig, terrific. I am so happy that Moshe has the hatzlocha that he has and that he was the one that was chosen. So what happened? There was a little worm of doubt inside his heart. How could I be so good? How could I be so perfect? How is it possible that I really feel that way when it's not normal to feel that way? Where is even the slightest shred of jealousy or frustration, personal frustration? So it says in the Medrash, Ilu Yod Aharon, that the Torah is made, the Torah is testifying, means Hashem Yira Lalevav, he saw what's in his heart, and that it is pure simcha, real joy, genuine fondness for Moshe Rabbeinu, which translates into no problem. I vergin him mit dem ganzen Herzen. If the Torah was known to Aaron at the time that it's testifying that way about him, he would have gone v'supim uva mecholos with a band. He would have hired a band and he would have gone with drums and instruments of joy to greet him. Mamish with a military band. What's the pshat? The pshat is that the simcha was inside his heart, but it could not translate into that kind of total and absolute expression of simcha because he wasn't confident in himself. Reuven wasn't confident either that he could overcome the feeling of a brother that was constantly maligned and so on, Lashon Hara, this and that, or whatever, and he was with the other brothers, and he says, what am I better? I am better than my brother. I'm better than Shimon and Levi and Yehuda and Yisachar. Why am I better? What makes me better? Why do I feel that way? Maybe it's gaiva. Or maybe it's because I'm the Bechor, so maybe it's expected of me. But Lemaisa, it isn't really right. So he had these moments of doubt and confusion. But what if the Torah would have testified that he's doing the right thing, and that he's capable of doing it, and that he's actually genuinely concerned for Yosef, and there are no other negias? Maybe because he's a Bechor, he has to act this way, but he really doesn't want to? When all of that is dispelled because the Torah testifies you are doing the right thing in an absolute sense, then he would have picked up Yosef just on his shoulders and he would have walked him right home. And of course the history would have been completely different. So those points that are mentioned by this Medrash are making exactly the same point. There's something menaker inside of us that tells us, don't think that you are worthy. Don't think that you're on that madrega. Don't think you can handle this. Don't think you can compare yourself to someone else. And that, of course, leads to a frustration and a yiyush. And, of course, in the end, ultimately, could lead to averus chamurus miyoid. By the way, the Ramban, it's also a Rashash, I think, somewhere in Masechet Shabbos. But the Ramban says on the pasuk that we all know, we say it in Shir HaMalos Mimamakim, Ki imcha ha-slicha l'ma'an tivare. Slicha is yours, Hashem, in order that you should be feared. Slicha is what? Slicha mechila, forgiveness. So what does it mean if translated into English? The words don't flow. So the Ramban is hakdama to Parshas Dvorin, to Sefer Dvorin, throws it in almost derech agav. And he says that the purpose of slicha is not just to keep the person out of Gehenna, so to speak. The purpose of slicha is that Hashem should be feared. Why? How? Because the answer is, imagine there wouldn't be slicha. And now a person does aveiros. By the way, this is something that confronts many, many yeshiva bachrim. Says in the Halakha Svarim, as they say, Zayar HaKadosh and many other Sifrei Kabbalah especially, there it is also mentioned in other Svarim that are in Nigla, but especially in Kabbalah Svarim. So the Kabbalah Svarim talk about the Zera Levatol. And there is very strong, there are very strong words there. Very strong words. So a yeshiva bachur who nebuch was nichshol, all of a sudden he thinks, what's the point? And that's why it's so critical that the tikkun, the ikar tikkun for this, is limud ha-Torah, interestingly enough. But because the Torah has a kayach ha-tahara, and it has in it esoteric qualities which we do not understand or appreciate at all. Besides all of the positive aspects of learning Torah, there's something that it has a kayach to protect a person and to save a person. And it also has a special kayach in this Indian. But a yeshiva bacher gets filled with yiyush. I'm no good. I'm anyhow over terrible aveiros. So what's the point of keeping anything? And that struggle inside of him often leads him astray. And if not astray, then to do things with a certain element of laziness or laxity. Why? His neshama wants desperately to be perfect. And he knows he's not perfect. And he knows that he's succumbing to a challenge, sometimes even on a daily basis. And that is putting him in the doghouse. And Memela, the Ribbono Shel Olam, doesn't want him, doesn't like him, doesn't care about him. And Memela, he is not worth redeeming. And therefore he doesn't redeem himself. He throws in the towel. Ki imcha atzlicha leman tivarei Ribbono Shel Olam, you have forgiveness and you offer us forgiveness. We always can start with a clean slate if we really want to. You don't have to wait for Yom Kippur or becoming a chosn. You can start a clean slate right then and there. And that's leman tivarei. If there is that possibility of starting with a clean slate at any given time, then Yirah Shamayim is possible once again. But again, why am I mentioning this? Because again, this is one of the great weapons of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara doesn't just say you're not capable of reaching high levels. The Yetzer Hara sometimes comes and says you're a piece of garbage. That's right. And when the Yetzer Hara says that to a person, let me tell you, there are two bachrim sitting next to each other in the Beis Medrash 50 years ago. 50 years ago, they're sitting next to each other in the Beis Medrash, they're bar mitzvah bachrim. Now, of course, they're in their 60s. One bacher is gesessen galalim. This fellow had a better head than that bacher. And was more matzliach in the cheder. Was more matzliach in that class. The Rebbe was chachking with him. But life, he went whatever his way. And the other one became a tremendous masmid. And nishmid the geyser kop and the gebaldin kikishlinis. He sat and sat and sat. And absorbed and absorbed, and he got a tremendous yata d'shmaya. And now he's a Rosh Hashiva somewhere, and he's matzliach ba'oif and nifla, and this fellow feels that his life passed him by. Now they're in their 60s. He asked Kenai Nahara, we're going to give him another 40 years of hatzlacha. Why not? It's a hypothetical case. You might as well be generous. He's going to have 40 years with a clear mind and a great capacity. So somebody's going to come over to him and say, you have 40 years left. 40 years is a long time. You could accomplish unbelievable things in 40 years. Tremendous hatzlacha. You could become that Talmud Chacham. And if not that Talmud Chacham that you might have become, but you could become a Talmud Chacham. And you could shteig and you could learn. And every letter of Torah, every word of Torah, the Vilna Gaon says, the Talmud Torah connected kulam. Why? He doesn't explain because it's such a chash of a mitzvah. He's like arithmetic. He says every teva in Torah is a mitzvah. When you learn Torah for an hour, you have thousands of mitzvahs that you get schar for. So you tell this to the fellow, and you know what the fellow says? Why didn't you show up? You know, when I was sitting there in the yeshiva by mitzvah bacher, and give me that musa shmuz, and then hold me to it. Put my feet to the fire. Then maybe I would have amounted to something. You tell it to me now, when I'm old, and my whole life has passed me by. And you say to him, your life has passed you by, you're strong, you're healthy, you're capable, you have a good mind. Zetzach avek alone. And he says, oh, you're just making me feel bad. You're just sticking a dagger into my heart. Because you talk to a 60-year-old like that, what do you think? I'm going to start from scratch now. I forgot almost everything that I learned. Hey, you want me to become a Talmid Chacham? Weiter, Meister Sutton. Don't think it's anything but the Yetzer Hara. Because the truth of the matter is that every mitzvah that he does now is a gewaldik azach. And every daf that he learns is gewaldik azach. And a person has no right to imagine that he's supposed to become a Rosh Yeshiva. That's up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And what kind of Rosh Yeshiva? And in what yeshiva? And to whom he's going to be mashpia? And who in the world knows what hashpah is anyhow? And as Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and many others said, the first and foremost Talmud of a person has to be himself. And if he's zoche in all those drushes and all those shiurim to change himself, it's a gewaldik. So what do you mean? A 60-year-old life begins at 60. Doesn't it say that somewhere? 40? They need an extra 20 years. Let me tell you something. You could go through this. We could give 1,000 examples. But give a cook, what's the common denominator? This is the incredible thing. What's the tzad hashava? The tzad hashava is, as long as you don't do anything kedai, as long as you're not learning, as long as you're not shteiking, as long as you're not doing mitzvahs, chesed, reading shidduchim, the best example in the world. To read a shidduch requires tremendous, one koyach, more than anything else. You know what that is? Stubbornness. I mean, you can call it whatever you want, but that's what it is. You see, a person that wants has to talk a shidduch, and then he has to hear no. Nobody likes to hear no about anything. That's why it's so hard to go asking for money. You don't want to hear the word no. It's human nature. Everybody has in him, if he's normal, the capacity to resent and to be frustrated by rejection of any kind. And when I stick out my hand, and the usher keeps his hand clenched, I feel miserable. Not just because I don't have the money that I wanted or expected, but because he's trampling on me. He's trampling on my heart. When a person goes and reads a shidduch, he has toot started to make him miserable. The boy's side and the girl's side. And believe me, so what happens normally is, you say, okay, I'll call. 3 days go by, and finally, person calls you 17 times because they're desperate. And you call. And then you say, Baruch Hashem, the line was busy. Now, what is that exactly? Now, let's analyze that a little bit more deeply. Does the person really care? The answer is yes. Yes, yes. But the kayak of the Yetzer is such that since it's so uncomfortable, and since you don't want to hear no, and you don't want to be bothered with all of the questions, and some of the questions you won't even know how to answer, you know, and some of the questions are so stupid you want to, you go out of your mind. You know, it's an unpleasant thing sometimes. Sometimes it's maybe more than unpleasant. And the fear of failure. So you know what the Yetzer Hara says? Malachol etzorazos. Was das für das haben? Now, is that the kind of Yetzer Hara that speaks to you with a loudspeaker? Of course not. Because no one's going to hear a Yetzer Hara that says, don't dread shidduchim, don't do a chesed when the other person is desperate. So the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, has this unbelievable payach besides everything else to be subtle. Listen, they're not answering the phone. So call again. I'm busy. I'm touring. I can't sit by the phone a whole day. I'm not asking you to sit by the phone a whole day. I'm just asking you to call again. It's an amazing thing, the kayak of one's inner, you manage to somehow confound yourself because for the moment, it's the easiest way out. So that's what the Gaon says over here in one aspect. Let's take a look in his Lashon. Nefesh, yeah. Nefesh yikara tatsud. It says in the Pasuk, take a look at the Pasuk for a moment, Chavav, on page 1. Ki ba'ad isha zona ad ki kalechem, ve'eshes ish nefesh yikara tatsud. an Eishes Ish, what it's tzad? To trap. Like Tzedah is a malacha on Shabbos, tzad. Nefesh Yekara, even a precious neshama, tatsud, this woman will entrap. So it says, the Eishes Ish hu achemdo shu Eishes hara ha-nodua ha-nikra Ish. So he says that Eishes Ish, she is the wife of the Ish, meaning who? Evil. The wife of evil. What does it mean? It means the tzad nukva of evil. Nefesh yikara tatsu chu hefech ha-mitzvahs. Vehi nitzreches k'tzas. He says you still need that koyach of taiva on some level, because otherwise a person would starve to death. That's anorexia. You have to want. I always say that the most simple pshat l'cha'ira of the pasuk that we say so many times in Ashrei, Paiseach es yodecha, and interesting that that's the pasuk, you have to have the ikar kavona, right? And the fact if you don't have kavona, you're supposed to repeat the pasuk. So what's the pasuk? Paiseach es yodecha masbi al chol chai ratzai. So if it would have stopped with Paiseach es yodecha masbi al chol chai, would be anything missing? We understand the importance, significance of the pasuk, and the reason why we have to have kavona. It's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides. Paiseach es yodecha masbi al chol chai, which I am included. So what's the ratzon? So there are many pshatim. What is that extra word? But maybe the simplest pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is masbia ratzon. So we don't even understand why you should have to say that until we encounter something like anorexia, when a person doesn't have the ratzon. However that happens, nobody knows for sure. Ad hayom, nobody knows for sure. What's going on? Is it a chemical imbalance? Is it a psychological, psychiatric thing? Nobody knows. But the bottom line is the person looks at the food and they echo from the food. The food could be beautiful, could be tasty. People could be starving somewhere and would eat it with delight. And even people who are not starving would eat it with delight. And they'll get fat. And this person doesn't have the Yetzer Hara or the Yetzer Tov or the Yetzer period for this food or for any food. Not only that, but when they have to eat, they go into the bathroom and they vomit it out. Now go figure that out. But masbil chochai rotzel, desire is a tremendous thing. And it's tremendous in many areas. Person has to have taiva, he has to have cheshek on some level. That's what the Goyin says over here. Because it's richa psas. So what happens though as a result? Because this kayach is a positive kayach on some level and in certain places, the sultan convinces you that it's a positive kayach in areas where it doesn't belong at all, and in fact it confounds you if you use it in that way. So what are the examples that he gives? So he says, V'hi nitzreches k'sas, l'chein oimer afilu ha-nefesh yukora, shu bal toira v'yira, hu meitzid mitzuda, hu meitzid means he nitzayit. He is trapped, he is captured in her net, in her entrapment, b'mitzudosa shemar elo, because this Eishes Ra shows him shehi nitzreches liyishuv ha'olam ulavodas Hashem v'toiv toira im derech eretz. Don't learn so much, don't learn so hard, it's not for you, it's gonna, you're going to become like that guy that he learned 18 hours a day and then he lost his mind. And that's the vacation that I'm talking about before, and it dovetails perfectly with Rabbi Yeruchim. But what Rabbi Yeruchim accomplished, and it's no small feat, what he achieved is to say, see, everyone understands that if you tell a person doesn't really need a vacation, take a vacation, then those 3 or 4 days are really wasted from Limud HaTorah and from genuine Yirat Shamayim. That's the truth. But what Rabbi Yeruchim said was that the whole Mahalach undermines your resolve because it's not boot camp. Now who wants boot camp? So Rabbi Yeruchim is telling us that you have to be on a madrega to be able to appreciate that the deprivation and the when a person wants to build his body and has strong muscles, he can't eat what everybody else eats. That's the point. You become fat and flabby if you eat everything. So you have to go on a specific diet. You have to eat a lot of protein or whatever the diet tells you to do. And that requires tremendous concentration and a steely resolve. And everybody knows that most people, they fail. What Rabbi Yeruchim is telling us is that that being open, that I need a certain comfort level to function, is the worst possible satan that you could have. Because people do not have that comfort level, and they don't have that menuchas hanefesh all the time. So you say, if lo yitzuyer, I would be in this matzav, and everything would work out, and this would be good, and that would be good, and that would be good, I would also be good. That's what Rabbi Yeruchim is saying. Those lo yitzuyers are not likely to happen. The world is a veil of tears. And you have to function within all matzavim. How are you going to be prepared for that? That's what we did last time. So that's a step beyond the usual comprehension. But he's talking about the simpler Yetzirah, where the satan says you need a break, you need to relax, you need to have friends. Somebody invites you to go out and stroll through the streets of Manhattan. Have a little relaxation, let's go see what's going on in the world. So the satan says, you know what, you're cloistered up in the Beis Medrash, you sit here the whole day. You need a little break. The satan says, you have to broaden yourself a little bit. You have to know what the world is all about also. The person goes on the internet for hours. Why? I'm not going to know what's going on in Beit Shemesh. I'm serious. And then, you know, everybody enjoys when there's a little machlokes be Yisrael. So this is not a little machlokes, it's a lot, because there's a conflagration. Everybody's making a tumult, everybody's making trouble. 50 times already in the last couple of weeks, somebody's gone over to me and says, what's happening in Beit Shemesh? So I said, the last time I had anything to do with Beit Shemesh was by the Plishtim in Tanakh. What's the list of a meal? I mean, I should tell them what's going on in Beit Shemesh. The people of Beit Shemesh don't know what's going on in Beit Shemesh. And the rest of the world for sure not, because once the media gets hold of anything, they fakrim it in such a way that you'll never know the emes. How do you ever know the emes? We only know the emes that's going on in our own hearts half the time. Precisely because of that subtlety that I'm talking about. The bottom line is that the Yetzer Hara is always looking for an opening. It's amazing. It's this little unbelievable worm that has incredible capacity, has a koach to camouflage itself, and a koach to be mislavish even in the tzad ha'tov. And that's what he's talking about. So let's just finish this paragraph. He says, Titzayid, he's matzid, he's mutzad, in other words, b'mitzadosa, shemara lo, she shows him, make believe, shehin itzrechas liyishuv ha'olum l'avodas Hashem, the toiv toirim derech eretz. V'omar nefesh yikara ki'inyon b'mitzvosecha tirdof nafshi. V'omar yikara ki atoira yikara hi mipninim. V'chol chafotzim liyishuv ba. So he says, nefesh yikara is actually referring to the koyach a person has in Limud HaTorah specifically, more than any other aspect of his Avodas Hashem. And Yikara is a reference to the Torah, which is Yikara Hi Mipninim, which of course is also a pasuk in Mishlei. The Kosafti Lamalo, Sheha Adam Roidif Acha Hahavli Oilam Machmas Beis Dvarim. O Shu Tzarech Lazem Yod, O Machmas Shu Dover Yokar Miyod. In other words, he chases after things because he desperately needs it, or because it has great value in the world, even if he doesn't need it. Ve'eino benimtza, and it's rare. The derech liskabit bedova yokar, and it's the nature of people to find honor and glory in precious things. Yeah, v'nir laniz daiti shalakach targum shal kavod yikar. Right, the word yikar is now. By the way, very interesting, because the word yikar also means heavy, and kavod and kaved have a lot to do with each other. But here, he's going in a different direction. He's saying that yikar is precious. Well, what does kavod have to do with things precious? Because kavod comes be'ikar from things that are rare. You want to possess the Hope Diamond, or the Rembrandt painting. Not because you're going to sell it to the next guy for $5 million more. He's going to keep it, and sometimes keeps it in a vault, or sometimes keeps it in a locked room, which he can only have time to see once in a yovel. But I have a Rembrandt! And sometimes there's so much covet in it that you don't even have to tell it to anybody else. You feel the covet so powerfully. You possess a Rembrandt. I am a human being that's different from any other human being on earth except for another 10 or 15. I have $1 billion. Today, I mean, I'm at 10 or 15, maybe 100 or 150, whatever it is. But, you know, when you're dealing with those kind of numbers, what does it have to do with the person? I told this to the Olam many, many times. Today, more than ever, is just a bunch of numbers on a computer screen.
If you pull out the plug by accident, all your numbers are gone.
It doesn't, the money is somewhere there. Okay, so call it. Pull it out. What are you going to do with it? You can own the whole Fort Knox. It's bad for the back. No, I'm serious. There's nothing there. One brekel nachas from a child is worth more than millions and millions of dollars. The whole room is really masking for this. But go tell a person who has a mitupel with 10, 15 children that he's the billionaire. It doesn't sit well with people because that's human nature. It's very hard to fight, and you have to be a Baal Musa to do so. So the Gaon says there are two kinds of reasons why people chase after something. Either because they very desperately need it, or because it gives them glory and honor to have it. Because it's rare, it's precious, it's singular, it's unique. V'nir l'aniyus daiti. Shalakach targum shall cover your car. V'eino ba'olam dover hatzorich yosem in alechem. There's nothing in the world that's more necessary than your piece of bread, your basic staple. Eino ba'olam dover hatzorich yosem in alechem shal ze yichya odom. Oimer sheba'ad isha zoyna ad ki kalechem. V'neged ha'yikar. Omar ve'eshes ish nefesh yikara totsud. Those are the two phrases. Something that you desperately need, something that is very rare. Ki lo zeh hachofetz chayim, asher etzaynoi betanuge oylam, eini yecholo lotzud oso, ki ritzono lios behashket ubetaynug, vezeh haroidif acha chemda hashket lo yucho, ach oyson haroidfim acha akovod, mona mechabdusa obotim noyim, hurodif acha hachemda, nefesh yikara totsud. So he says, nefesh yikara totsud is, what is he saying in these last four lines? He's repeating the theme that he has mentioned since Perek Beis, namely, that there are certain things that bishas maisa, at least you can be mamala your daiva, and there are certain things that will never give you satisfaction or rest. So he says, "Ki lo zeh hechofetz chayim asher ritzono betanuge olam eini yecholo or eino yecholo lotzud also ki ritzono lios behashket ubetainuk v'zeh harodef acha chemda hashket lo yuchal ach oison haroitfim acha hakavod mona mechabdusa obodim noyim hu rodef acha hachemda l'chein omer nefesh yikara totzud." What's he driving at? Why? What does it mean, nefesh yikara totsud? It waits for him to arrive. When an animal runs through the forest, you put the trap in such a way that you anticipate where the animal's going to end up passing through. And that's where you dig a big hole in the ground, for example, and you cover it up with grass and branches, which are very weak. And when the animal who doesn't notice that there's a big hole there and thinks that the path is clear, chases through and falls into the trap, how did it manage to get to the trap? The answer is because it was going in that direction. If a person would not travel in that direction, would not chase after these things, then the Ashes Ra would never be able to trap him. So there is a Tzeda that has to do with being. It's like Bar Bishus Harabim. You have to come to the Bar. The Bar is static. The Bar is there waiting for you. And the Bar is not moving. The Bar is where it is. So how does the person end up in the Bar? The answer is he walked into the Bar. That's exactly what he's saying. Zeh harodef acha chemda hashket lo yuchal. Right? Ach osam harodfim acha kavod mona mechabdusa who wrote acha hachemda. Lochein oime nefesh yikara totsud. He'll taka never have any respite. He'll never be able to say, die. He's always seeking it out. And that's where the Yetzirah gets him. The next Pasuk Chav Zayin, is very interesting. Hayachte ish eish becheiko v'godav lo si sarafna. Im yahalich ish al hagecholim veraglov lo kisikaveno, kein haba el eishes re'eu lo yinoke kol hanogei haba. So we asked this question, I believe, already, but in any case, let's repeat it, or let's ask the question now. Bo'al Eishes Re'ehu is a gefel l'chazach. It's a gefel l'chazach. As I always point out, it combines not only the arayis shabo, but also an element of gzela, because she's not yours. The asa lo akuli alma kehekdesh. So using the, granted, Eishes Ra is a mushal. It's not arayis. It's a mushal. But whatever the mushal is, it has to be that the nimshal could be derived from the mushal. You have to understand the mushal. So now you have here an Eishes Ish. And someone is Baal Eishes Ish. What could be worse than that? Why do you have to look for questions? What is the question? Im yahalich ish al yecholim v'rad lavosi kovena? Is it possible for a person to walk on burning coals and his feet should not be scorched? Is it possible that a person should take a coal, a fire, and put it to his bosom and he should not be burnt? Or at least his clothes should not be burnt? So what is that? What is that mushal to? If you're talking about Eishes Ish, Cain haba el Eishes Reyehu lo yinoke kol anogeya ba. Very interesting. So the simplest pshat would be that since it says Cain, it's telling you the nimshal as one of those rare cases where Mishlei doesn't just give you the mushal but gives you the nimshal as well, which is rare, but it happens. So this is one of those cases, and it's talking about Eishes Ish, and it's talking about a person who thinks he can be clandestine, a person who doesn't remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything, a person doesn't think that it's going to be discovered, and the Nimshal is, it's not so. Because Elokim b'Shamayim, and he sees what you do, and even if you're not discovered here on earth, and even if you think that you've pull the curtains, but the Ribbono Shel, there's no curtains for the Ribbono Shel. So Memela, the Marshal and the Nimshal is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees what you do even in secret, and therefore you're going to burn in Gehenna for it. That's what the Marshal is saying, and the Nimshal is Kain Eishes Ish. Right? Lo Yinoke Kol HaNogei Abba. That could be Pshat.
What's that mean?
What if the whole...
What does that mean? Lo
Yinoke? Lo Yinoke. He's not going to be able to come out of it scot-free. Like Noki. Noki means clean. He's not going to come out of it even if he's not caught, even if he doesn't go to jail, even if the husband doesn't go after him with a knife, you know, even if his own personal family life is not disrupted, even if he manages to fool the whole world with this Eishes Ish, Hashem, you cannot fool. That could be the pshat. So, first of all, I don't know why you have to have such a tifa mashal. You just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything. And also that the mashal has a nimshal in it is also not so. So I would suggest maybe that the mashal and the nimshal itself is a mashal. It's like a mashal to a mashal. Now, if you take a look at the Gra, according to his measure. But mida is not just a measure of things, it's a way of describing begodim. Mado, madim are begodim, because they're measured. Because when a tailor takes a bolt of cloth and he pulls off a piece and he puts it to your length and to your breadth, he measures you. That's why it's called midoy. The law of Ashakoin mido bad is measure of bad of linen, and that's, he says, Osam anolodim imo nikroim begodov, v'osam shehugalu nikroim ragalov, from the word haragel. Right? And let's continue after the parentheses, five lines from the bottom. The last word, v'zehu hayach de ish eish becheiko, hu neged hamachabek chek nachriya shehu ataiva, shehu befnim beveso, because that's something you can satisfy on the spot. Remember, there's an inin of rodei facha hakavod. But taiva can be satisfied where you are. That's the way he portrays it all the time. And there is a temporary satisfaction, even though that satisfaction creates bigger taiva later on. But that's b'flim b'veisa, l'chein oma b'cheiko. U'b'godav lo sisaraf, nein osam amidos anolodim imo, avad osam machma shehugal amalas ta'avosal. Mikol shkein, shelo yishaber midos avitibo lahagilis atzmo b'midos tovos. She wrote to Lamalas Tavoso, for Lazetzerch Shviras Tavoso, if he wants to break his midos that are negative. For Lo Yishor Bo Meuma, Lachain Omar Tisarafna. This gon, the next 5-10 minutes, I just want to finish with the pshat of this gon, because I think it has tremendous, tremendous consequences, Lamaisa, in our own lives. What the gon is saying is, and I think that's why it's a mashal to a mashal. Everybody knows that Eishes Ish is a terrible thing. But the assumption is that that's where it begins and that's where it ends. Now, you do have people who can do terrible averos. They come into the Beis Medrash and they sit and learn by the Gemara. And they expect to have an aliyah by their yard site. And all along, they're in the middle of horrible things. Horrible things. Now, how is that possible? The teretz is because somehow it doesn't, the Yetzirah in the midst of the Avera, besides the Avera, does not allow the person to perceive that the Avera and the nature of the Avera is corrupting his entire persona. And in fact, it's the opposite. The concept of Avera Goreris Avera and Mitzvah Goreris Mitzvah is not merely that one mitzvah leads to another, because there's a grand central station inside of a person. And that grand central station has a computer system that tells you which way the rails go so that the train should go to the north or to the south or to the east or to the west. And if that system is corrupted, then all of a sudden you'll have trains that crash into each other. Because the traffic controller, and the same thing with planes, it's all a matter of management. And the whole persona is filled with all kinds of decision-making mechanisms that go on moment after moment after moment. And when a person becomes fasamt with something, he doesn't just become fasamt in compartment A. It's not like all the trains on the north side are in trouble. Every train is in trouble. Why? So the Gaon identifies two nekudos. Nekuda number one, because ra is addictive. If you get away with something, you feel you get away with it tomorrow. If it gives you pleasure, you want more pleasure. That's masbio, marivo, marivo, masbio. But that's only number one. That is only number one. There's a big number two. You know what that is? That even when the person's not doing that, he can't do anything else right. Because there's a corruption in the system. There's a virus in the computer. And no one knows where that virus will turn up. Mamish like in a computer today. You don't know which file is being corrupted. You don't know which operating system is being challenged. You don't know why the computer takes so much time. All of a sudden, the person loses a cheshek for mitzvahs, a cheshek for learning. So you say, well, you know, I don't know, I had a bad day today. I didn't feel good about myself. The Gaon says that the eishes ish, which is not arayis, it's a mashal. What is the eishes ish? That a person bedded with ra. He has chased after the ra. He has allowed the ra to trap him. He is memali ta'avoso at home. Both of those things, kavod and taiva, that chemda, that he has to have it to satisfy himself, it never stops at the door of the bedroom, so to speak, using the mashal. It permeates like a gas throughout the entire house. And nothing is impervious. Nothing is impregnable. And nothing is sacred. So that's what this pasuk is trying to say. When a person, according to the Gra, it's very beautiful. When it speaks about begodav lo sisarafna, it means the midos. The begodav are his midos. There's a corruption of his midos in general. You know, I'll give you a simple analogy. It's just an analogy. But the human nature. A person has a very hard day at the office. The boss made him miserable. He produced something that he should have gotten compliments for. And the boss noticed the chvester on the edge there's a smudge, and he made him crazy about the smudge. You know, we expect perfection here. We don't want, you know, where did you find this? In the toilet. He says, what are you talking about? That was the paper in the computer. That was, it's not even my paper. That's what came out. So he says, listen, you should have checked it before you bring it to me. Don't bring me such junk. But what about the fact that the program that I did, or the letter that I wrote, or as accomplished, it's gabaldic. He said, yeah, the letter is good, but one thing has nothing to do with the other. Anyhow, he makes him totally crazy, and he feels miserable, and he can't stand his boss, and you know, and he comes home, and he is really ready to kill. Now, the soup happens to be a bit salty. That's all. A kapichke, like they say in Yiddish. A bisala, nimnochka. A little bit. Un poquito. That's all. Just a little bit. Now, on a good day, what a problem. He says to her, your soup is so gewaldig that even when it's a drop salty, but since you made it by me, it's Gan Eden mamish. I mean, you know what the wife normally would say to that. What do you want? but let's assume that, you know, but that's what he might say. He might even say something like that. I might even mean it. Now he comes home, but he had a bad day. Had nothing to do with her at all. Nothing to do with her. Not Latoyd, not Lara. Nothing to do with her. And he says, all you have to do a whole day is to make me soup. And you can never get it right. This is the first time that it's salty in a year. You can never get it right. Now what is all she has to do? Is that half all she has to do? And Lamai says, she made you the soup. And Lamai says, she gets it right 98.9%. I mean, that's temperature. 99% of the time. What's wrong? The Teretz says, there's a corruption. There's a corruption in the system. Now you'll ask him. So she starts to cry. And he says, what did I say? Like, what did I say? What are you making such a production? I had a miserable day, and my boss made me sick. And yes, I told you this is a little salty. I mean, first of all, Lamai said, next time you won't make it salty. It was constructive criticism. But besides that, what are you getting so excited about? I mean, what's that's the end of the world? What about all the good things I've said to you last year? She says, you mean all three times? But Lamai said, the fact of the matter is that he would not be such a suffering. He's hurting. That corrupts. It should be the exact opposite. As the Hosnish can boss, because he's a chayara, at least you have a loving wife, you have a home to come home to. Adarabba, you should come home and say, Ma, if it wouldn't be for you, I think I'd jump out the window. I had a horror of a day. And since, of course, Lashon Hara L'Tayelis is mutar, we'll talk about it for the next hour and a half. Abba Lamaisa, you have to understand that what happens in a corruption, and this is a very, very big yisai, because the marshal that I'm giving you is a tremendous nimshal to the Yetzer Hara's corruption. It corrupts in a way that undermines whatever is good that's inside of you. And in the final analysis, it's like a person shooting himself in the leg. That's what it is. So a person can drezach with the eshes ish, meaning the yetzer hara and the satan, in one part of his life, and somehow, like the maisa with the boss and the wife, it comes out in the soup. But it's a corruption. It's a virus. It's something that will pre-creep up in this file or in that file, or maybe even in the operating system. And you know what? The remarkable thing about this corruption is that you may not know until it's too late. A really successful virus hits you in such a way that it changes every 6 to a 9. And Memele, if you're a bookkeeper, you're finished. Because then everything is no good. But hey, you'll never know. You'll hardly know. And that's the way it works with the Yetzer Hara, and that's the way it works with Koiches HaNefesh. Corruption breeds further corruption until finally you don't even know where you're holding. That's what I always say, Vayelcho Achrei HaHevel VaYehebolu. You become that Hevel. And all of a sudden your thoughts are different, and your processing is different, and your concerns are different, and your values become different. And all of a sudden you're not the Yid that you used to be. And then you wonder to yourself, like, how did that happen to me? All I did was this. Or all I can acknowledge doing is this. It's a corruptive koyach. And that's what the Goyim says. But not only does it corrupt the midos that he's born with, he says the midos that he has to fight. Because everybody has in himself those positive instincts used in the right way that always go a little bit beyond, and they become negatives. Lashon Hara. Why do we speak Lashon Hara? What happened to be Dan Lekavschus? The answer is, I'm only human. That's what most people say. Most people, when they talk about Lashon Hara, they don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? It's like taking salt. You're talking about salt. Taking like salt out of all your food. I can't talk about a person. Like, what's life worth? Or, I'm only human. That's the way everybody is. If it wasn't the way everybody was, then wouldn't be talking about Lashon Hara is a problem, Yom Belayla. Right. Because we are born with corrupted possibilities. So we have to fix what's not Beseder, or what's potentially not Beseder, we have to, you know, support. We have to put a little concrete underneath and give it a foundation, L'Toiva, so that it doesn't go off in the wrong direction. And what's negative, we have to suppress and destroy. And this is the exact opposite. The corruption causes a total breakdown in our ability to counter the negatives, and it certainly does not allow us an opportunity to steig. All of that is happening outside of the quote-unquote Eishes Ish problem, because these are all derivatives. How do they say it in the language of Iraq? Collateral damage. This is all collateral damage. But collateral damage many times is greater than the original damage itself. Interesting. You go in and shoot somebody, and then on the way out, your whole van with 25 people in it explodes because the fellow planted a bomb. Collateral damage could sometimes be much worse. You go in to kill one person, and you end up killing his entire family. Collateral damage. The collateral damage of the Yetzer Hara of the Satan is unbelievable. But most of the time it happens in such a way that we're not even aware. Because when a person has the Yerida, he thinks his Yerida is a status quo because of the Yerida. No one knows. I always feel, I don't want to make anybody nervous or upset, Chas V'Shalom. I really don't. But I think the biggest thing that's going to happen when a person goes to Yoylem Ha'emes, and I'm talking to myself, Mamash, the biggest thing that's going to happen, the hardest thing, the most horrible thing, that's what I mean by the biggest, is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show you all your Averis and ask you all those questions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show you a picture of the person that I could have been. And you're going to stand there and say, wow, unbelievable. And the sense that now it's too late because L'acha Hayom la'asaisam v'loy l'mocha la'asaisam, that's what I could have been and that's what I became. I think it's going to be unbearable. Just unbearable. So it pays to be good in the final analysis, and that's really what all the shiurim are all about.